be like. Yeah, it's really good to be here. Like Pastor Jared said, it has been a weird week where discouragement happens, and it's part of life. And I feel that some of the similar thoughts of Jared. And the stuff I'm going to share about again today, this idea of union with Christ, it intercedes when we have discouraging times. It also intersects and intercedes when we have encouraging times. And so I am excited to be speaking again on this topic. And this is the third week of this topic. And if you missed out and you've been gone the last couple weeks and you're like, okay, I'm jumping right into this four-week series with Jim, and it's called Union with Christ, and you're wondering, what does that mean? What is that topic? Or what is Jim even talking about? The first week I talked about how when we read God's Word, there's several times where we'll read, like in 2 Corinthians 5 or in Galatians 2, where we read these verses where it says that if you are a follower of Jesus, you've placed your trust and faith in the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, that you believe that he died on the cross, that he defeated death, that he came back from the dead, revealed himself to many, and ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and one day will return. If you've placed your faith in that gospel message, that you have this thing called union with Christ. And really, I did my best attempt of creating a diagram, and here is the diagram. And really, it's this idea that at the same time, we are both in Christ, and that Christ is in us. So if you see my diagram that I've shared the last couple weeks, on the left side it says, I am in Christ, and on the right side it says, Christ is in me. And this idea can almost be confusing to wrap our minds around. But as I've been sharing, the idea on the left that I am in Christ, it's this idea that when you become a follower of Jesus, that you are part of something bigger. And I was listening to the podcast that Jared and I recorded last month that come out alongside of our sermon series, and he used this word that I thought was so good, but this idea of I am in Christ is this idea that I am represented by something bigger than me, and it is Christ. I've said the last couple of weeks that it's also this idea, like think of a football team that you root for. You know, when you root for that team, you're like, oh, let's go Broncos, as if I'm on that team. But it's kind of like a corporate head that when you become a follower of Jesus, and being a follower of Jesus is way more important than any football teams or whatnot, but that you are in Christ, you are part of something bigger. And on the right side, where it says Christ is in me, that when we become followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, is in us, directing, empowering us in our journeys of whatever or wherever we're going and whatever we're doing. So that is kind of a rough idea of what union with Christ is. And I encourage everybody to listen to the last couple weeks. If you weren't here the last 2 weeks, go check out the podcasts, or you can listen or watch online and come up with, or like start getting familiar with this term, because I think it's one of the most vital things for our Christian journeys, kind of exploring what it means to have union with Christ. In the first week, I talked about union with Christ and how it shapes our identity. That when we know that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, it shapes our identity. Like answering the question, who am I? I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Last week, I talked about direction, answering the question, like, where are we going? Or where am I going? Now that I'm a follower of Jesus, like, where am I going? And the direction is really a simple, we almost want to say cliche answer. I am going to be with Jesus. All right? And so that's what I talked about last week. Today, I'm going to talk about purpose. Because I am in Christ and Christ is in me, I have this union with Christ. How does it shape my purpose? Like, what am I here for? Wherever you're at, whatever part or the journey that you are on, you might be wondering, like, what am I here for? What is the purpose of my life? And so that's kind of where I'm going to hunker down today. Next week, I'm going to talk about what we can hope for and how union with Christ shapes kind of what we can hope for. But like I said, today I'm going to stick with purpose. This last weekend, I got to go on the men's retreat. And it was at the Cross Ranch. And a lot of people here have probably been to the Cross Ranch before. And it was awesome. You know, like Jared was saying, it's been a discouraging week. And part of me was like, I want to just stay home and just not do anything. But I, along with a bunch of other guys, we went to the Cross Ranch, and it was really good. It was very cold, but very good. And they had more heaters, though, this time at the cabin we were staying in, so that was a positive. But at the Cross Ranch, Don was leading kind of just our discussion for our evening devotion. And Don led us through thinking about our own stories of salvation, like our witness or our testimony. For those who are in Christ and Christ is in them, those who have union with Christ, like how did and has God worked in your life? And it was funny because as Don was having us do this, I'm like, Don, you're just helping me prepare for my sermon this Sunday, because that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to share my testimony. And I've shared it before, but as I share my testimony, how Jesus has worked in my life and is continuing to work in my life, I'm hoping that you are thinking of your own story, whether you are a follower of Jesus or are not, or you've been a follower of Jesus for 50 years, or you've been a follower of Jesus for a week. My thought and hope is that you're thinking of your own story, because when we were at the men's retreat and everybody was sharing their own stories, there were some people I'm like, I have a very similar story to you. And then others I was like, wow, you have a very unique, different story than my own. And so I'm going to share my story. And my story starts, it starts with I'm born, I guess. But, right, it starts way before that, too, with my family. Anywho, but I became a follower of Jesus. And for me, it was a very distinct moment in my life. Between my second and third grade year of elementary school at a summer camp. And the camp, and I've shared this before, but the camp was called Woodbine Ranch. It was near Sedalia, Colorado. And my great-grandma Opal, she was awesome. But during the year, she didn't have a bunch of money, but during the year she'd set aside money for my siblings and I to go to this camp during the summer. And so between the summer of my second and third grade year was the first year that I was able to go to Woodbine Ranch. And we went to this camp, and you know, if you've been to any summer camp of any kind, or even like a activity camp or whatever, as a young kid, like they are fun. Maybe it's like a Boy Scout camp or whatever. They're fun. And I remember, you know, having a lot of fun. And then there was one night where there was a singer. His name is Danny Ortley. He was playing a guitar, and he shared the gospel message, the good news, to me. And for some reason, in God's good grace, went before me, and like almost like it's like I had heard this before, but for me, it's like I want that, or I want to believe that. And this musician, he said, okay, when you go back to your cabins later tonight, talk to your counselor about this good news of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, and that he defeated death, and all these things. And I was like, oh my goodness, I want that. And so I remember going back to my cabin that night and telling my leader, you know, that I wanted to follow Jesus. And I remember all the other students, they had gone to bed and they were in their bunk beds, and me and my leader, we were down on the ground with like flashlights. And we were reading, like, scriptures, and it was in that moment where I'm like, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I felt a very real presence of faith, like having faith in this stuff. And for me, it was a very distinct moment for me from that point forward. I think like a couple months later, I got baptized. You know, I hadn't been baptized as an infant, but I got baptized later. And so for me, my story as a follower of Jesus happened between my second and third grade year. And that's my story. And you might have a similar story, or maybe a very different story of how Jesus has intersected your life. But for me, after that moment of becoming a follower of Jesus, I knew what I was saved from. You know, when they shared the gospel, like, when you die, do you want to go to heaven or hell? And I was like, well, I want to go to heaven. So I knew what I was saved from in that moment. You know, it was almost probably even a selfish thing, like, would I want to go to heaven or hell? Well, obviously, I want to go to heaven. But I don't really know if I knew what I was saved for. I knew what I was saved from, but I didn't know what I was saved for. And even as I shared my story, hopefully you're thinking of your own story, because we all have stories. If you're like, I don't have a story, that's part of your story. But we all have stories, and I found it fascinating, kind of this popular thing that's going around on social media recently. And maybe you've seen it. Everybody's got a friend who has done it, but it says, like, then and now. And it's like this idea where you post, like, your first social media picture then, and then you post your most frequent social media picture now, and you compare, you know, like, how much you've changed over the years. And some people, you know, they post their first social media picture from, like, you know, 10 years ago, and they post that one, and they've got it next to their new one, and you're like, you see them, and you're like, oh my goodness, you have aged, right? You know, we see, and then you have that friend, they've got their then and now, and maybe it's like 15 years, or I don't even know when social media started, but you have them next to each other, and you're like, oh my goodness, did like, they're the same person. Oh my goodness, they even look younger, you know, or something like that. But we all have that, and you all know what I'm talking about, like this idea of then and now. And even with what I'm going to, as we're going to be looking in our biblical text today, and what it means for us as followers of Jesus, it made me start thinking, not just like with social media, but for me, when I became a follower of Jesus between that second and third grade that summer, I was a Christian then, and now I'm 34, and I'm a Christian now. If I was to have a profile picture that could somehow represent what my relationship with Jesus was like, what would it look like? You know? And so I'm going to explore some of these themes today. But to kind of help you see, I didn't want to do my first profile picture, but I wanted to show you what I did look like in middle school. This wasn't in my second or third grade year. I couldn't find a second or third grade picture, but I do have a picture of me from middle school, and yes, that is a mullet, all right? So mullets are awesome, and yes, that is a bolo tie, all right? I do own a bolo tie, and I got it set out this morning, and I was about to put it on, and like I was going to be decked out in a bolo tie today, and then I was like, I couldn't bring myself to it. So if I get enough people saying, yes, Jim, you need to wear that bolo tie next Sunday for the final sermon, I will talk with my wife, and she will help me know if that's a good idea or not. But I show this picture because, you know, at this point in my life, I was a middle schooler. But even from this point until modern day, like right now, like there has been changes. And I want you to think of your own life. Like think of when you became a follower of Jesus or when you were in middle school. I mean, hopefully some of us can remember, you know, those times. Like for me, I don't even remember being in middle school. I don't remember wearing a bolo tie. But just be thinking of like, what was it like then and what is it like now? And today, the text we are going to look at, as we're continuing our looking at union with Christ, I'm going to explore this idea of purpose. And I want to throw out this idea or this theme. And Jared says this to me all the time, and it's a hard theme to wrestle with, But I want us to really grasp it by the end of today. And it's this theme, become what you already are. Become what you already are. And we're going to go into this, but really a simple idea is this, that when I was a second grader, third grader, two and a half grade, I don't even know. But between that summer, when I became a follower of Jesus, I was a Christian then. Today, 34 years old, I'm a Christian now. There's a I have the same marking of being a Christian then, justified, now justified. But the Christian I was then has hopefully matured and grown and been sanctified to right now, to where I am different in my Christian walk, but I'm still justified. So we're going to explore some of this, and it all has to do with purpose. And so we are going to turn our Bibles, or click open our Bibles, or it will be on the screen, to Ephesians 1. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians 1. It's in the New Testament. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we got Acts and Romans. And then we got Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so we're going to be in Ephesians 1. So if you would, find a way to read it. And guess what? I'm going to challenge us again as we're opening our Bibles, as we're looking on the screen, as you're clicking them open on your phones, however you're doing it. This is my challenge. We believe that this is the Word of God, God's inspired Word. I'm going to challenge you to read it. Go home. If you've never read the entire Bible, read it. This is the year. Get somebody. Say, I want to read it. There's YouVersion Bible app plans where you can read along with somebody. Get somebody and hold somebody accountable. Go through the Bible stories with your kiddos. Read the Bible stories as an adult. You know, it's kind of fun reading children's Bible stories when you're an adult. But immerse yourself in this is God's inspired word for us. This is God's words for us. And so this morning, as I read, may we look at it and hope to hear God speaking to us. And so we're going to be in Ephesians 1. We're going to be starting in verse 3. And if you would, follow along. Before I read too, there's some hard stuff to wrestle with in this passage of Scripture. And as I read it, it might make you feel a little uncomfortable, but hopefully God is speaking to you and us in this. So here we go, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, the praise of His glory. Let's pray over this. Heavenly Father, hear Your word as we look at it, as we engage it, that You, Your Holy Spirit, would speak and guide us in this time, especially as we look at purpose and having union with You and how that directs us and gives us purpose and meaning. Lord, even when we see words like predestined or You chose us, it makes us feel uncomfortable, but that You would help us in that uncomfortableness. And it's in Your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. If you would, look at verse 4. This is what it says. See it up on the screen. It says, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." So the foundation of the world, creation. "So even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." All right? And so when we are looking at what is our purpose as followers of Jesus, as those who believe the gospel message, that we are in Christ, Christ is in us, our purpose is right in this verse, where it says that we should be holy and blameless. And really, this is to be like Christ. And so when we ask what is our purpose as followers of Jesus, as those who have union with Christ, our purpose is to be like Christ, and that is to be holy. And this idea is very, it can be very complex, or it can be muddled, because some people can say, well, to be like Christ means you have to be perfect. And the others are like, well, I can't be perfect, so I'm not even going to try. And so it's when we see passages like this where it says that we should be holy and blameless, that we should be like Christ, it can be hard to maneuver this text. And we're looking at this today because if our purpose is to be like Christ and our purpose is to be holy, how do we navigate this? There are a lot of ways that people try to navigate this, and I'm going to do my best to articulate those ways. But some people will say, the already and not yet. All right? Everybody say already. All right? Now look to the person next to you and say, not yet. All right? The already and not yet. And it's this idea, when I became a follower of Jesus, when I was saved, I am already made and I am already justified, but I'm not yet complete. Like, I'm already, but not yet. I'm justified in Christ, but then I'm being sanctified for the rest of my life. This might help you better, is that you are declared holy when you become a follower of Jesus, and the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus is being empowered to be holy. So hopefully, this day, I'm more like Christ than I was yesterday. And hopefully, the next day, I am more like Christ. And hopefully, the next day, I'm more like Christ. So that on this journey of my life, that what I am being saved for, what is the purpose of my life, is to be holy, to be like Christ. Am I ever going to arrive or achieve it in this time? Absolutely not, because Christ has already done it, but I'm slowly going on this journey. And it would be a bummer if there was somebody on that journey that felt like they had arrived and that they were perfected. Or it would be a bummer if somebody was on that journey and just said, I'm not even going to try to be like Christ because I can't do it. So they call that the already and not yet. And in our text, if we go to verses 13 and 14, It really does spell this out really well. It says, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So there is a seal, a guarantee, when you become a follower of Jesus, when with the gospel message, with salvation, there's a guarantee that you are saved. But then you see, until we acquire possession of it. So there, you have it, and then you're having it. You know, it's kind of like, I'm saved, and I'm being saved. Already? Not yet. Declared holy, empowered to be holy. All right? And so when we look at what our purpose is, with where we're going, it is to be holy. It is to be like Christ. Trying to articulate this can be difficult sometimes, and it might be this difficult, you know, in trying to articulate this, that you've experienced, like, how do I reconcile that I am in Christ and Christ is in me? That I know I'm saved, but then the next day, I do something that somebody who's saved maybe shouldn't do. Like, how do we reconcile that? And that is, it is in this idea that we can reconcile that. I tried to come up with all the words to describe this, you know, that we are beautiful wrecks. You know, we're beautiful wrecks, or we are glorious ruins, you know, or we are broken masterpieces, or that we are cracked images of God, or however you want to articulate. Somebody I saw on social media, they wrote this, and it was really cool. They said, I am both a masterpiece and a work in progress simultaneously. I am both a masterpiece and a work in progress simultaneously. Already, not yet, justified, being sanctified, declared holy, empowered to be holy. And that journey that we are all on is discipleship, meaning that we are lifelong learners of Jesus, of being like Jesus. So when I ask this question, do you know that your purpose is to be like Christ? If you're a follower of Jesus, do you know that your purpose is to be like Christ, to being holy? And the funny thing is when I say the word holy, sometimes like the first thoughts are like, they aren't always positive thoughts. People think of people who are holy as the people that are going to shame you for not doing something right. Or, you know, we have nicknames for them. The holy rollers, or the Bible thumpers, or, you know, whatever you want to say, or the prudes, or those who are holier than thou, you know. But being holy, even if we have a misunderstanding because somebody has abused whatever that word is, that holiness is good and beautiful, and it's good and beautiful because God is holy, and we are working to being more and more like God each and every day of our journeys that we are on. Is it unattainable? Yes, it's unattainable, but we should pursue it. I think it's funny, when I became, Chantel and I, when we got married here in Bismarck, and it was September, and we were worried that it was going to be really cold that day, because we didn't wear shoes for our wedding, because we're weird people like that. Long story, but anywho, I did have one friend who had really hairy feet, and he was afraid that people were going to see how hairy his feet was, and I was like, dude, don't worry, it's not about your feet, it's about my wife, or it's about, you know, it's our, about our wedding. Anywho, we got married here in a September in 2011. I should know what date it is, 2011. Good thing Chantel's not here. I need to have that for the next service. Okay, in 2011, we got married, and Pastor Jared, he did our wedding. Do you remember doing our wedding, Pastor Jared? Right. And so I remember we have a little DVD, so we watch it every year, and I like to, it's just kind of fun, but I remember that day, and after Jared did our vows, you know, we did the, you know, he pronounces us, you know, husband and wife. And, you know, at that moment, I was Chantel's husband. All right, it's 2019. Am I still Chantel's husband? Yep. The same, like the same title that I was here. Husband, husband. Am I the same person, the same kind of husband? Absolutely not. Because the husband I was here didn't know much, you know? And as we've journeyed together, I'm slowly changing and becoming hopefully a better husband, all right? Am I a husband? Yes. But I'm learning, you know? Think of it maybe, if you're married, you could think of it that way. Think of it as a friend, some of my best friends. I have a really good friend, and when we first started our friendship, you know, he didn't know much about me, you know, but now as we've been friends for, like over 15 years or whatever, he knows me more now. Was I a friend then? Yes. Am I a friend now? Yes. But it's changed during that time period, the then to the now. You could think of it as, if you're a parent. Our firstborn Cohen was born 4 months ago. When he was born, I was a dad. 4 months later, am I his dad now? Yes. Same title. I'm still a dad. Am I different? Have I changed? Absolutely. The last 4 months has been a whirlwind. I'm tired, but it's good. Would I change it for anything? Absolutely not. But as we think of these things, think of it as if you're a follower of Jesus, when you became a Christian at that moment, are you Christian? Are you justified? Yes. Now? Are you Christian? Yes. Are you the same? No, hopefully you're more like Christ because your purpose is to be holy like Christ. And holiness is good and it is beautiful. And so I ask you this question, even just kind of as we've explored Ephesians 1, we've looked at holiness, as we've looked at this idea of then and now, of justification and sanctification, of the already, of the not yet, as we've looked at this, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you this morning? And how are you going to live differently based on what God is saying to you this morning? How are you going to respond? How are you going to live differently? And at the very beginning of my sermon this morning, I said, when I got saved, I didn't know what I was saved for. I knew what I was saved from, you know, heaven, hell. I knew what I was saved from. And as I've gotten older and hopefully more mature, hopefully, the other thing I know that I'm saved from is myself. You know, because it's not all about me, but I've learned that maybe another thing I was saved from is myself, selfish Jim. But when I look at what I'm saved for, yes, I am definitely saved for God, but there's other things that I'm saved for. One of those things is community. You know, we push this this idea of being community. Well, discipleship classes, K groups, get into community, serve on a team, do like get a part of a community. And it's not just for community's sake, but it is in community, however form that takes, that it is in community that we realize that we are broken messes, you know, broken, beautiful messes that need each other, not so that we can be like, oh, I'm perfect, bad, shame on you. We're broken messes that acknowledge that we're both broken, but then we can point each other to the one who isn't broken, and that is Jesus, and Jesus is perfect. And so when we ask, we know what we're saved from, what we're saved for, one of the things is community, being with other people that are like us, that don't have it all figured out, but we are limping along. Jared always says that we're limping along together to Jesus. He also always says this idea of the porcupine. We're like a bunch of porcupines that we have to huddle together for warmth, you know, when the storms come. But we're going to prickle each other. You know, we've got some, you know, so we need each other for the warmth, you know. But community is like that. We are saved not only for God, but we're saved for community. And even beyond that, we're also saved for mission. So once again, what is God saying to you this morning? And how are you going to respond? Because maybe you're having a discouraging week like Jared and I are having, or maybe you're having a really good week. God is speaking if we're only listening. And when we're talking about this idea of union with Christ, may we be people who have our identity in Christ, meaning that we are in Christ, that Christ is in us. May we know where we're going, the direction of our life, that we position ourselves, we are saved, but we look back to where we've come from, and then one day where we're going. You know, I talked about that last week, the direction of our life. One day Jesus will return. Jesus is what we are moving toward. Today, with purpose, may we be a people who orient our life around pursuing holiness each and every single day, seeing holiness as a good thing, not as a thing to shame people that are broken just like us around us in our community, but as a very good thing. And next week, as we talk about union with Christ, may we be a people that can hopefully put our hope in Jesus, who is one day returning. So if you would, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are holy, and you work in mysterious ways. This morning, that we would have ears to hear the ways that you're working in us, whether you're a follower of Jesus or you're not, that you would have ears to hear maybe how God is prompting you in this moment. Oh God, that you would lead us this week, in this day, in the next hour, in the next breaths. But not only that, but that you would lead us in the next year, in the next 5 years or 20 years, for the rest of our lives, that you would help us, that you would empower us by the working of your Holy Spirit that's working in us, that you would empower us to be more like you in everything we do, in community, in mission, in how we interact with our world, in every single thing that we do, Lord, that you would lead us, because we want to be more like you. We want to be holier like you. Help us in that, in our brokenness, when we do something that we don't want to do, when we sin and we know that it hurts our relationship with you, Lord, help us know that you do forgive us, but that you want and call us to being holy. Oh Lord, that you would help us orient and direct our purposes around you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.